ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport to the program, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Well, TD, let's start on this front. No C.J. Stroud for the Texans coming up on Sunday. I know the last time the Titans played the Texans, they got shut out. So the issues more so on the offensive side of the ball. But what do you make of, you know, Simmons potentially being back in there this week? How the Titans defense has played throughout the aftermath of all this, which, frankly, at times they've held up better than maybe I thought they should have. Depending or given who's out there, what do you make of the Davis Mills matchup for the Titans this week?
Well, here's the thing: they're going to keep everything the same as far as the focusing on the quick passing game, taking occasional deep shots, but they're going to look to dink and dunk, right, and work the underneath and intermediate routes with Dalton Schultz. So it's going to remain relatively the same as far as system is concerned. But we know that Stroud is a much bigger playmaker than Davis Mills. So that'll be different. But I think really it's going to come down to getting pressure on that quarterback. They have opportunities to do so. Denard Wilson, you know, has done a really, really excellent – well, let's not get too far. He's done a solid job of manufacturing ways to get to the quarterback. There's going to be a few new things, too. Don't be surprised if you see, you know, Kevin Winston Jr., a little more pass rush. James Williams, I think, may get an opportunity to do some of that also, just to add another element to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Titans, and I know, obviously, Draymond Jones is gone now, but the pass rush has probably been one of the pleasant surprises of this season for the Titans, TD. And, of course, pass protection has not been, although, I mean, I think it's better, but – it obviously continues to be a struggle. This is not a great matchup in that way. I do wonder if this game is a little bit of a, you know, like an opportunity for J.C. Latham here down the stretch to sort of, you know, establish himself here and finish the season strong. I think he's one of the key guys, you know, young guys that you need to grow into being a really good player. The way Skoronski has, where do you think he is and how important do you think this is for him?
Well, first off, I'm glad you mentioned Skoronski because, you know, he's getting the typical offensive lineman treatment, right? When you do a really good job, you just kind of float under the radar and nobody talks about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm glad you mentioned him because he deserves his props. He's playing at an all-pro level. I mean, that's just what it is. Now, as far as Latham's concerned, you know, he's another one of their major investments, draft capital-wise, in the offensive lineman. And so you do want to see him begin to start to turn the corner. And I think the further he's able to get away from his hip injury, the better for him. So, yeah, he's a key part of it. I mean, you guys remember back in the days, you know, when they had the bookend tackles before, that's when the Titans were a good team, you know. And that's something that they need to get back to. That's a foundation starter.
TD, you've watched every snap that Cam Ward has taken to this point. We know the situation around him. We know the limitations of the roster. What's the number one thing you want to see from Cam Ward in the second half of the season?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to cue up a quote, a DMX song, "Stop being greedy and give to the needy."
Nice.
That's what I want to see him do, right? You know, he wants to take that shot. He wants to push the ball down the field. And I love that for him. But you know what? A part of being a really good quarterback, a very effective, efficient quarterback, is learning to take the easy play. And the thing that's really good about this is that's when I asked him what the one thing is that he thought about a lot over the break was, it was that. You know, so I think if he could show that, hey, you know what, I'm going to jab you to set up that uppercut, I think he's going to start winning some fights, so to speak. And that's what I want to see him do, be able to set things up and just be a more efficient passer. Get in more – you know, second and fours, third and threes, those type of situations as a result of going looking deep but coming down to your reads underneath.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Obviously, he talked about TD. We were talking earlier about Cam and really just the appreciation that he directly calls out. He called out on his own, right? The Van Jefferson play where the footwork was just bad and he just, he dirted it and it should have been a big play. Seems like he's got self-awareness. He's not afraid to call himself out publicly. And also, it seems to me like he gets after teammates like the right amount that you want on the field. And I think that's impressive for a rookie. What about just the mechanics? The accuracy, the footwork, things like that. Obviously you're working on that during the season, but you get into games and a lot of times you kind of revert to habits or whatever. Like how much better do you think, that can still be for him as he moves forward in his NFL career?
Joe, it's just that, right? You work on the mechanics, but until it becomes muscle memory and just a complete habit, you're going to resort back to older things when the bullets are live, so to speak. So you're 100% right with that. I think really the mechanics and the footwork and all that stuff, that's going to come during the off season. That's really, you can't really tweak that and completely and effectively with the little bit of time that you're spending on that during the regular season. Now, he did say he works on that stuff on his own too, and props to him for that. But I don't think there's really going to be a change until next year. And so that being said, he could continue to try to make those small incremental adjustments and things like that, but you're not going to see the full product until next year.
So, TD, Amani Hooker signed a contract extension back in September. He's 27 years old. We've seen him play really good football before for this team. What do you make of the season he's had to this point and kind of where he is right now heading into the second half of this season, but also looking ahead over the next couple of years?
Yeah, it hasn't been an Amani Hooker season. There's a lot of missed tackles, and tackling was one of the things that I felt was his strong suit, and that's why I compared him to Malcolm Jenkins. When he came out, because Malcolm Jenkins was an awesome tackler. And you're seeing missed tackles. You're seeing bad angles, right? You look at the Jonathan Taylor home run that he hit there in Indy. It was a bad angle. And you don't normally see those types of things from Amani Hooker. So I'm not sure exactly what it is. I know, just talking to Quandre Diggs, and he was talking about the four safety rotation. And it was harder for guys to get into the flow of the game. So maybe that, I don't know. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just offering explanations that may be. The bottom line is he has to play better, right? And when the team invests in you like that, you got to reward the investment. You know what I mean? Because the way this league works is if you don't, in a year or two, we'll be talking about that deal. Like, hey, well, you know what? It really only amounted to a 2-year deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he does need to step his game up. I would be surprised if he doesn't. I think it's time for, a lot of these guys to play better football. And the thing is, even though they're not playing for playoffs or anything like that, you're playing for your pride, right? And you got a name on the front of the jersey, on the back of the jersey. Make it proud and turn things around.
Well, staying at that position, TD, you mentioned earlier that Winston, maybe we'll see him, in a blitzing capacity. Do you think that, like next year, there's so many positional needs, obviously. Do you think that those two, like their skill sets mesh well, that they could be a good duo next season?
Yeah, I do. I think they could be a good duo. I look forward to seeing how Winston grows into that position. He's a heck of an athlete, and a very good size player as well. So I think he and Hooker, they're interchangeable, right? Both could play in the box or drop back. They give you some coverage things. I think Winston is going to be a better coverage safety than Hooker, but you got them. And then you got, of course, Xavier Woods. He has the hamstring. He's been out, but he'll likely be around too.
So, TD, I thought it was a pretty entertaining media session from Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. Talked about a lot of different things. And one of the things that he talked about was, he talks with obviously Brinker and Borgonzi a lot and admitted that, early on it was pretty hard to see the vision, right? And there's a lot of losing that's been going on. And, obviously he's tired of losing, but he kind of reiterated his support for those two yesterday in terms of the long-term plan. So as you look at him, knowing that there's going to have to be, you know, some sort of contract adjustment extension coming up this offseason, how bought in do you think Simmons is to being here and being and trying to help this team get to the other side of this?
You ever see Daddy Daycare?
Oh, yeah. Love that movie.
You know the one part where the big guy was carrying the kid when they first opened the daycare and the kid was making a fuss and then they gave him that money and he's like, ah.
Yes.
And he was quiet.
Get the dollar.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, no. it could be a similar situation to that, but I think it's not necessarily the money as much as it's just, hey, look, I'm pouring into you and making you understand that you know, you are the core of the foundation that we're building around. And this adjustment to the contract is a token of our appreciation and showing you that we are putting our money where our mouth is. I think that's really what it is, was just the whole picture that they presented to Simmons has got him to buy in and just give him the understanding that, hey, look, man, I'm the core, and it's on me to help turn things around. It's almost like a level of responsibility that they put on him.
Other than Cam TD, if you could pick one player, a young, you know, player that the Titans consider part of the future to have a good rest of the season, who would it be?
Well, I mean, naturally I'm going to pick Chim DK, but let's play different a little bit. And I'm going to go Gunnar Hill. And I think, you know, this is a guy that I feel as though, actually, you watch Dalton Schultz on the other side of the ball. I think Gunnar Hill could be that type of player, right, where he's a quarterback's best friend. You go to him when, you know, things break down. He's going to catch the ball, get you yards after catch, but most importantly be a really good red zone option. And I think that's where Gunnar Hill could really step in. Look, guys, he's been targeted 25 times. He caught 20 of them. You know, that just lets you know that there's a degree of reliability with him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm
get him
those
the ball.
Guys. Yeah, DK, Helm, get him the ball in the second half of the year. TD, appreciate you as always, man. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning and enjoy the game this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Yep, Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We'll react to what TD had to say, take your thoughts on the Titans and the Texans coming up next. We got Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Monday night matchup, the Cowboys taking on the Raiders. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. It's the Titans and the Texans coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. No C.J. Stroud for the Texans. Davis Mills in at quarterback. The text line has been sending in Davis Mills stuff all day. Got a large neck, that guy. We'll see how it goes coming up on Sunday and what sort of quarterback play the Texans get. Going to be interesting to see the Titans defense, too. Looks like Jeffrey Simmons going to be back out there. TD tweeted out a video yesterday, Joe, of Ridley running around. He looks good. Ridley looks like he's moving around at full speed. So I would assume both those guys back this week for the Titans, and we'll see what sort of difference they make. What do you think on the Imani Hooker front? Because, you know, Hooker signed the contract extension back in early September. He's 27 years old. Like I said with TD, we've seen him play good football. It's not like he hadn't been a good player for the Titans. He's been a good player. It's not been very good this year. And, you know, he's not number one on the list of bad football that's been out there. But as TD talked about, some bad angles that have been taken, some missed tackles, not being in the right spot. Like, it just hasn't really looked like Imani Hooker out there. So how concerning is that? What do you make of that, Joe? And at the age of 27, fresh off of a contract extension, how important is that in the second half of the season, that he turns things around and plays good football?
Yeah, it's important. If you would have told me there'd be an issue this year with Imani Hooker, I would have guessed more injuries, not performance. Because that was my concern with extending him. Is like, only 27. First of all, that still seems weird to me that he's only 27, because he's been here. He's been such a key guy for so long. He was a part of that 19 draft class coming out of Iowa. But the issue with him has been, I think for a few years there, look, I think Well, that 2021 team, you know, that gets the number one seed that could have won it all with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, but did not. So you, some of you think there was no way that ever could have happened. But I think that was arguably the best safety tandem in the NFL at that point, along with what they had going in the pass rush and everything else. And, you know, he's been a really good player. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Are we seeing age? Are we seeing just because of the injuries, the physical tools eroding a little bit? I don't know. Or are we seeing, think about Byard. I'm watching Byard right now with the Bears. Pretty freaking good still, man. Yep. Like he's still a pretty good player. Are we, you know, think about some of Byard's years here, like especially the 2020 season when he really struggled, took some bad angles. You're like, what is going on with him? Sometimes it's also, you can look bad as a product of what's around you. Again, not to make excuses, but it's not like the rest of the defense gives the safeties a ton of help at times. So I don't know, but it's a very important for sure. I agree. Like we focus on all the young guys, you know, Helm, get the ball more. Can DK keep making plays? Can Cedric Gray keep progressing? Can Tavondre Sweat make some plays? But also a guy like him, he and Simmons, some of these veteran guys, it's a small list, but they are guys that you want to still be a part of the team when things get better, assuming they do at some point.
Yeah, like, you know, the Byard's a good example because we did have that conversation back in 2020 of, man, he sure looks like he's kind of slow out there and he's taking some bad angles. And, man, is he just –
missing tackle.
Is he falling apart? Like, what's going on out there? And then, you know, he's responded since then and has played pretty well. So, you know, when you have a bad defense around you, that certainly has an effect. Although I will say, like, some of it is just like it's recognizing what you're seeing, taking the right angle of the ball and making the play, and he's just not doing that as consistently enough. So you wonder, like, why that would be the case. I almost wonder sometimes with players like him in this situation, like, are you running around trying to do too much out there, right? Like, you know how bad things are around you in the secondary. And by the way, you know, since the season started, they've traded away McCreary, they've traded away Brownlee, and you got a bunch of guys out there that are just guys in the secondary. Are you running around trying to do too much and it's just totally taking you out of your game? I mean, that, honestly, frankly, like that would be best case scenario for me if I'm a Titans fan. Yeah, I hope that's the case.
Yeah. And look, it is – TD was just talking about like Skoronski and offensive linemen, right? It really is like the one or two huge mistakes you make sometimes, they stand out and then you can – yeah, you can play like 53 great snaps, but you have two terrible ones, and people come away saying, "God, he sucked in that game." And that can be true of defensive backs too. Not that some of these mistakes, it's just that some of them from him have just been, they've just been so out of character, and you're just surprised to see him. But yeah, I mean, I think all those things probably play a role in it. So he's one of those. He's a consummate professional. He's one of those guys who sets a standard in terms of preparation. I think that he learned that from Kevin Byard, you know, and it's a great guy to have around. I still think that's why you could have made a case for some of these other guys, you know, like a McCreary, like a Harold Landry, to try to maybe keep some of these guys. But I still think he's a really important guy in the locker room. And it would be big for them to feel like, hey, after this year, with a few weeks of good football, for them to feel like, okay, safety's good. Winston, you can see it with him. Like TD said, it's great to have interchangeable safeties. They can both be a box safety. They can both, you know, they can both be middle of the field safety and the post safety, you know, if need be, move it around. If you feel like that's a good tandem next year, then, wow, there's a position you actually don't have to worry about while worrying about all the other ones.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, man. I never thought I'd be beating on the table for anybody, but I will for Amani Hooker. Like, I think it's completely unfair to act like he sucks or act like he's just having a down year. He's out. You put Ed Reed on this defense, he's going to look bad. He's going to look exposed because everybody – the offense is on the field for like 45 seconds. And then when he does get it, the defense is getting no help, no pass rush. The linebackers don't tackle, so it's all left to him. And, yeah, bad angles, whatever. But he's been on a defense that's been the worst and we picked number one overall, and we're going to be doing it 2 years in a row. So he's like, and I say that to say he's one of like three good Pitt players. So I don't want to dump on him and hear him go, you know, get himself down too. So I think this is not a very good conversation today.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Let's head back to the phone line.
Thank you, Adam.
Driven by Wilson.
Thank you for joining this terrible conversation.
Welcome in, Herb, to the program. Herb, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, good morning, guys. Listen to what TD said about the Gunnar Helm. I don't know why more teams don't do like the Chiefs do with Mahomes and Kelce. Because what Kelce does is not rocket science, but he's so successful. You know, what he does when the ball snapped, he waits a couple seconds. He looks to see where the defenders are going after the wide receivers are coming in to protect against the run. And then he finds an open space, turns around, and the ball is there, especially on third down. And they're so successful. I think Gunnar Helm could do that for the Titans, and I don't know why they haven't done it before.
Thank you, Herb. Appreciate it. Problem is, Joe, if you wait a couple seconds for the Titans, Cam Ward's flat on his back.
Yep, there is that.
The man door is wide open.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. Someone picked the lock. Whoa, that didn't take much. Just a hanger.
Light tap through the door. It just flew open.
Yeah.
Too much WD-40.
But that is a great stat by TD. You know, I think Ridley's like around 50%, you know, or something like that on the target and catch thing. And you know, I know, I remember last year, didn't he have one where it was like targeted 11 times and no catches or something?
It was eight.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but that's a great percentage. That tells you getting open, and that tells you catches the ball. And also, you know, on the same page with the quarterback. I mean, I know with the tight end, sometimes it's pretty simple, like go find the soft spot in the zone, or, you know, it's not, I mean it's usually shorter routes and stuff like that, but still, that's a level of reliability they should lean in on more if they can.
Got Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. Tennessee back in action this weekend. The Titans at home taking on the Texans. We'll get into all that and more, plus a huge weekend coming up in college football. That's next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition. Pretty good week for the program last week. I went 4-2 with my lock. Rex Road and Ian both 3-3 with their locks last week, so pretty decent. On the Pigskin Pick'em front, bringing the overall standings, I remain in first place, 37-29, 4-7 on my locks, 41 points. Ian Safar, 34-32 overall, 5-6 on his locks, 39 points, 2 points back. Rex Road, 29-37, 7-4 on his locks, good for 36 points. A close competition in Pigskin Pick'em. With that in mind, we begin. New Mexico State taking on Tennessee this weekend. The Vols, at one point, were a 40.5 point favorite. It is now back down to 38.5. A 38.5 point favorite for the Tennessee Vols. Give me Tennessee in this one. I think that they, in these type of games, we know one thing about Heupel. I don't know who's coming in at quarterback after Aguilar gets done, Joe. They'll throw it, though. They're going to continue throwing it around, and they're going to get some work for Merklinger. I would imagine at some point you'll see McIntyre. They'll probably get some work for him, too. And I think Tennessee's going to win by like 45. So I'll take the Vols minus the 38.5. Ian Safar, who we got?
I will also take Tennessee. I expect them to win this game, you know, like 52-10, something like that. That will cover. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and just go ahead and make it my lock. It's a lot. It's a big number. But, they'll cover.
Locking down. Joe Rexford, who we got? Tennessee favored by 38.5.
New Mexico State 48, Tennessee 10. Give me New Mexico State.
Wow.
I need to make up some ground. Here's where maybe I could do it.
Wow. New Mexico State, no selection to cover. Plus 38.5 against Tennessee coming up at Neyland Stadium. The Houston Texans coming to our beautiful city. Going to be a beautiful weekend here in the Nashville area. Taking on the Tennessee Titans. Houston, a 5.5 point favorite in this matchup with Davis Mills at quarterback. Ian Safar, who we got?
I'll take the Texans. You know, Davis Mills is capable enough. I worry about the Titans being able to score some points in this game. They did not score in the first game versus Houston. We mentioned that earlier in the show. I'm sure. I hope they'll get on the board. The weather should be decent. But I still will not pick them to cover. No.
Joe Rex wrote Houston favored by 5.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, I think the Titans will be competitive. I think their defense with Simmons back on the field against Davis Mills, although Davis Mills may be able to like look all around him to the side, over, whatever. I think the Titans will keep it close, but I think the Texans end up winning by 7 to 10 points. Give me the Texans.
Davis Mills elevates the Texans. They win.
Yeah.
They cover. Give me the Houston Texans minus the 5.5 in the matchup on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, I got to go right away with our senior associate executive assistant to the regional producer, Pat Narduzzi. He took a lot of crap this week. Like, I think beat us by 100. We won our last two games. He's not wrong. If they win the last two games, they're in the ACC title game, and then they're playing one game to get in the playoff. But I think that's a little reverse psychology. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's going to win, but Pittsburgh at home plus 12.5. Pittsburgh is a better team than people realize. Give me the Panthers to cover.
Pittsburgh plus the 12.5 against Notre Dame. Rexroad going with the Doozer to cover things this weekend. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to take, coming off their off week, give me Bama minus 5.5 versus Oklahoma. Alabama is at home. They are coming off the week off. So I think they'll cover. I think they can win by a touchdown.
I'll go ahead and echo that. I got Bama minus 5.5 too. I honestly can't really believe the line's that low. So I will go Alabama minus the 5.5 against Oklahoma. Rex, I can tell by your face you have that too.
Yes, I had that too. Are we allowed to do this?
Sure. Now I'm nervous.
Groupthink. Well, but at least it won't cost you if we're wrong. You know, like we're all going to have the same thing.
So Rexroad has given two picks. So he's already done his second pick. Ian, your second individual selection.
Okay, this one's a little off the board college-wise. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was not good for Georgia State covering. Give me Marshall minus 7.5. I don't like the extra half there, but give me Marshall minus 7.5 at Georgia State as my off-the-wall college pick this week.
I love it. Marshall minus the 7.5 against Georgia State. Give me Western Kentucky minus 13.5 against MTSU and make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Rivalry game, so you never know. You throw the records out the window in the rivalry game, but Western Kentucky, a almost two-touchdown favorite, and things, frankly, just not going very well for MTSU. Western Kentucky, by the way, 7-2 overall. They are 5-1 in Conference USA, so I will take the Hilltoppers. Minus the 13.5 lockdown against MTSU. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
Yep, I looked at that one too. But I'm going to go South Florida at Navy. Big American matchup. Navy is I have this listed as Navy minus 9.5. That is wrong. It's Navy plus 9.5 at home. Navy's got a great offense, but South Florida is going to go up and down the field on them. Give me South Florida, giving the 9.5 and make it my lock.
Guaranteed.
Did you call it a nice American matchup because of the conference or because Navy's playing?
Well, I was talking conference, but that's also a good point.
I'm just checking. I know what you're doing.
Good job.
Good stuff. Give me Tennessee Tech at 10-0. Plus 21.5 against Kentucky. I don't think they're going to win, but give me Tennessee Tech to cover.
I like that.
21.5 against Kentucky. That's a good football team. They're 10-0. I realize that we're talking about two completely different levels of football here, but I'll take the plus 21.5 for Tennessee Tech against Kentucky in this matchup. Ian Safar, your third individual selection.
Okay, to the NFL. I don't know. This one's kind of sticking out. I'm going on a little bit of a limb here. Broncos plus 3.5 versus the Chiefs.
At home.
So I think maybe field goal. You know, I got the extra half point there. I'm going to take Broncos plus 3.5 at home versus Kansas City in a big AFC West battle.
That is a large game. Denver plus 3.5 at home. Ian going with them against the Kansas City Chiefs. For my final selection, give me the LA Rams minus 3 against the Seahawks. An important NFC West matchup could go a long way in determining who the number one seed is in the NFC. Give me the Rams minus the 3 against the Seattle Seahawks. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I don't know if this is smart or not, but I'm not going NFL at all. I'm all college. Really, I haven't actually done that well in college. I think I've probably done better in the NFL, so this is pretty stupid. But and another thing I'm worried about is, you know, I'm looking at Florida. They were so bad. Kentucky absolutely took them apart. Are they just done, or are they just so erratic you just don't know what to expect week to week? All I know is they're at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is minus 11.5. It's a big number given the talent of Florida, but also Lane Kiffin, you know, he may be auditioning here. He may be playing his future employer. I think Ole Miss is going to drub them. Give me Ole Miss minus the 11.5.
Ole Miss favored by 11.5 against the Florida Gators.
I thought
Gators.
About that one.
I did too, actually. It's a big weekend in college football. It's far your final individual selection.
And actually, Joe Dubin texted me and said Alabama played LSU last week. So maybe I missed.
They did, yes. They did.
I misspoke on that, so I apologize. Hopefully that doesn't mess up my thinking there. But I'm going to take the Cowboys, minus 3.5 at the Raiders. 3.5 seems low. Maybe they're kind of teasing us a little bit. Cowboys looked bad last week. But I'll take Cowboys, minus 3.5 at the Raiders. Raiders stink.
Yeah, they're bad. Cowboys, minus 3.5 against the Raiders. So it's a big weekend in college football. You got Texas and Georgia coming up, which I didn't touch that game because, frankly, it's not going well for me picking Georgia games this year. I have no idea what to make of them. I mean, obviously they're good, but then they'll be in a barn burner with like Auburn. You're like, okay, I don't know what's going on out there. Big weekend in college football.
No doubt. And when you think about it from the – no, I'm with you. I did not want to touch that Texas-Georgia game. From the Vanderbilt perspective, you want Georgia. You want Alabama. You know, if Alabama wins, Oklahoma's out. They're done. If Georgia wins, Texas, you know, they could still get in by beating Texas A&M. They could have a case to get in. But you definitely want those two. And you want Pitt, man. If Pitt can pull this off, Notre Dame's out. Get out. Notre Dame is totally out. I don't care what people say. I see that there still would be some decent percentage of them to get in with three losses. No way, man. No way. They are out if they lose this game.
Got a big weekend of football coming up. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. The Preds in action in Sweden today. We will get into all that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Do I get bonus points in the competition for picking Tennessee Tech?
You should.
In the Western MTSU game? Taking some local football around here, man. That's what we're doing.
You don't, but good job.
Oh, thanks.
If you're correct, you get the points. No, I actually like both picks, though.
Thank you for laying that out for me.
No problem. MTSU struggling, man. Struggle bus. And that'll be very interesting with Tennessee Tech. Be very interesting. You know, Kentucky has actually, like, quietly become a pretty decent football team. I mean, look at some of the games they could have won. Like, they had Ole Miss beat. They had Texas beat. It could be a very different kind of season. And of course they come on into this town in a week to be the next team to try to ruin Vanderbilt's party.
Hey, what's made you more mad today? The different clips we've played of you expressing your love for Mason Rudolph as a backup quarterback, or all these people who apparently just despise Memorial Gym?
Memorial Gym, by far, it's insane. You people are, I mean, go away. I can't do it, man. I can't even deal with it. I don't know what to say. I'll probably say something too mean. That's ridiculous. We need to preserve these places. It's not just an old place. It is a historic place. It's an amazing place. It needs to be freshened up. It needs to be fixed up, no doubt. They're doing a lot of other stuff around it there, like the basketball buildings for the teams are amazing. You know, like, they're doing all that stuff. Yeah, fix it up for sure, but never, ever think about building a new basketball arena. Ridiculous. As far as you guys, I mean, it's fine. If you guys want to gang up on me, fine. I mean, Ian hasn't played. I know that there's me walking it back and saying, okay, how about top 10?
No, we're still looking for it.
That today. Oh!
I haven't found it.
I have not found it.
I did not find it.
I mean, you can find Stilly talking about Cardale Jones being the best quarterback in the Bills quarterback room from like 8 years ago, but you can't find this.
I'm not sure you said
that. I find that hard to believe.
Not sure you said.
I think we had a rant last year where we replayed that so I could yell at Stilly. I'm pretty sure we did.
I particularly enjoyed the Drake May one. That was fun. Even though I was not genuine at all in my discussion about it, yeah. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. Hey, I stand by it. If we go back in time to the first game of the 2024 season, I'll take Mason Rudolph over Drake May for one game. I will. Okay. Right now.
Good.
Give it to me.
Good stuff.
Put me in the time machine. Put me in the DeLorean. Okay, Dr. Brown, let's go. Mason, you're starting. Drake, stand there and take some notes.
All right, let's play a game. The Preds are about to play in Sweden today at 1 o'clock. By the way, pregame at 12 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. They play again on Sunday morning in Sweden. Both games against Pittsburgh. Joe, how many games do the Predators win? 0, 1, or 2 in Sweden?
I'll give them 1.
Okay, one
I'll
win.
Give them 1.
Ian Safar, what we got? 0, 1, or 2?
OT loss. 1 point.
Okay.
In both games.
So 0, but they do pick up a point.
Yeah.
I'm going 0-2. I don't think they're going to win either game. Which would then put them at 7 losses in a row of, you know, some of them being of the OT variety. But if they don't win at all in Sweden, is Andrew Brunette still the head coach this time next week of the Nashville Predators? It's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah. And I would say that in traditional NHL terms, I would bet no. But if you make me give an answer right now, I'm going to say even in that scenario, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd probably lean that way too. Although, as I've pointed out earlier this week, like if you're going to make a coaching change, if that's on your radar at all, the schedule sets up for this being a pretty good time to do it when they come back from Sweden. So we'll see. We'll see, number one, can they win any games and stave off this conversation? And if they don't, do the Predators actually want to act at that point? We'll see what happens. Joe, if you're a Vanderbilt fan this weekend, you're not playing football. You got Kentucky coming up next week. And then in a couple weeks, a showdown with Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. What are you looking at this weekend if you're Vanderbilt as far as the college football playoff picture is concerned? We know if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you need to be a big Pittsburgh Panthers fan this weekend. Just go ahead and knock Notre Dame right out of the discussion. What else are we looking at this week?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want Notre Dame out, so go Pittsburgh for the upset. Like I said, you want the favorite SEC teams, Alabama home against Oklahoma, and Georgia home against Texas. Those are huge games for you. Get them, get yourself in a better spot than those teams. You know, look at Utah. Utah's at Baylor. Utah's a spot ahead of Vanderbilt. I think with the ACC and the Big 12, like, yeah, you just basically want just as few bids going to those other leagues as possible. So if Baylor could pull that upset, that would be good. USC playing Iowa. That's actually a sneaky, interesting game for the Big Ten. That's pretty good. You want Iowa. If Iowa wins, USC's out. You don't want the Big Ten to get a fourth team. I don't think Northwestern has a real shot at home against Michigan, although Michigan's not very good. That's the Big Noon Fox game. So if Northwestern wins that, there's another Big Ten team that has no shot at the playoff. Those are the ones that really come to mind.
Those are the big ones, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the big ones, you know. And again, like, they don't all have to go Vanderbilt's way. It's like almost all the stuff has to go against them for a 10-2 Vanderbilt to not be in. But if a few of those things I just mentioned happen, we might get to the point where we know heading into the Knoxville game, if Vanderbilt beats Kentucky, that a win puts them in.
I'll tell you, if you want to get another crazy one, if you want to stay up real late, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, watch the see if the Horned Frogs can take down BYU. The nice 9:15 kickoff on Saturday night. Get you a little late-night football watching if you're a Vandy fan.
Oh, and that is a good point, by the way. BYU, I think if they get one more loss, they're toast. They got crushed by Texas Tech. So, basically, you'd like the Big 12 to be Texas Tech and only Texas Tech, which is possible. And if that's the case, then, you know, and the ACC might just get one. I mean, the SEC, if Notre Dame's out too, the SEC is like, freaking lock almost for 6 bids.
Yeah, I mean,
which a lot of people around the country go over really excited about.
Yeah, I'm sure people really enjoy that. Yeah.
But it'll be justified whether people like it or not.
Greg Sankey will be insufferable at that point. Man, I guess then an SEC team would probably need to go on and win, right? Like, you probably need to win the championship. But if that happens and they get that many teams in the playoffs, he will be very proud of himself.
Yeah, after what happened in hoops last year. He might buy himself some fancier ties. Who knows? Be a little flashier.
He might.
Got some great neckties.
He might. We'll see if the Titans can hang in there against the Texans this weekend. We will have you covered on Monday morning for a busy weekend on the football front. Again, the Predators in Sweden. We'll have your pregame starting at 12 o'clock today here on 102.5 The Game. Puck drop coming up at 1 o'clock. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Next man up with Jake Lyman and Connor Newt is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May.